Hello and
welcome to the no, we're not doing it. I thought we were doing it in
the 18th episode. Yeah, we're not going to do it again.
Okay.
We're trying not to. That's the problem with being unscripted. Hi.
Howdy, everyone. Y'all. How's it going? We're back.
Yeah, but we were there last week.
Yeah, but we're back again. Nice.
There we go. I just opened a very special bottle of very large beer.
For the first non-Formula One episode of 2022.
So far. Like half a year, it seems.
Honestly, dude, gotta say. So, considering how the last few years started, you know, with America going down beginning of last year almost. Pretty much forest fires all over the world in general. Destruction and mayhem.
We're still
so
here.
So far. Is okay.
Cheers. I'll drink to that. I'm on the beach right now with a nice, what is it, La Trappe quadruple, labeled as extra strong beer.
Yeah.
10%. Very, very nice.
Yeah.
I can very much recommend.
I'm
going to quote Laurent here, good friend of ours, who said, if you drink this, it makes you instantly stupid in terms of conversation ability.
Excellent.
So this is the perfect podcast drink.
Perfect. I'm having some winter tea and some Kraken spiced rum, which I'm quite partial to these days, spiced rum. I'm really enjoying it.
They seem like opposite spectrums, like opposite ends of a spectrum on like the drink spectrum. Well, you have warm winter tea and then room temperature spiced rum on the other.
Well, let me hit you with a take. Tea is just spiced water.
Yeah. If you're hanging rum, onto the word spiced, but I
and
think
spiced
the word...
rum is just spiced rum. So theoretically the two should really go together.
On the spiced spectrum, they are completely far apart.
I don't know. I mean, winter tea is like, you know, cinnamon, cardamom, and spiced rum is like cinnamon, cardamom, mind you, in different flavor profiles.
Well, I think the main difference is alcohol and water-based. So.
Listen, I just took the first sip. That's pretty good.
I'm not arguing the flavor. That's a whole different spectrum.
It's honestly, the winter tea is quite apple-y, and that works well with the rum.
I can see it. By the way, there was a few weeks ago, Toby and I were in my backyard drinking, and we, in our intoxicated minds, thought we had come up with a new drink by having sparkling apple juice. There we go. I couldn't think of the word sparkling. Sparkling apple juice and Jägermeister and putting it together.
Yeah, that was pretty
and
good.
We all of a sudden thought we had created this whole new thing. And the moment I went online, I recently looked it up because I thought of it. And it's like a typical drink in every bar. So yeah. It's not something special. We were just so drunk. I think we just thought we created it ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, the interesting thing was, I remember that not quite vividly. And it was one of those moments where we were just kind of towards the end of the night, kind of throwing together whatever we had to like have like one final drink, you know, and then really thought we were onto something. And I remember, well, I don't remember. I fully completely forgot about the situation until you texted me going, hey, by the way, I looked this up and it exists. Apparently it's relatively popular. I was like, oh, fuck. Yep, I thought we had something here.
It's also known as a ladies' drink, not to assign genders to drinks, but it really shows you where our minds went. Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of, this beer is very, very good.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I do like a quadruple.
Yep.
They're it's one of the first things that I had here that really made me kind of think, oh wow, the Reinheitsgebot, the law dictating to which ingredients German beer can be made with. Is really kind of holding us back rather than, you know,
absolutely
bringing us forwards, ensuring quality, because, you know, there are some real funky stuff you can get up to.
Yeah, and I mean, craft beer is like the bad example of that, but any beer, or I mean, this La Trappe is actually a Dutch company, but a lot of different beers in Belgium are amazing. The different, and there's so many different tastes too. Like you can go from the Quack beer to like a Leffe Blonde, they taste completely differently.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do like a Kvak. That's a, I mean, aside from the fact that it's, yeah, it's an occasion to drink, but it's also, you know, just, it's a really rounded kind of flavor. It's really kind of speaks to all the parts of your mouth. It's really fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that was one of the longest drink sections we've had in a minute, I would say. Usually it's, what are you drinking? Or we forget to ask it. So,
yeah. Hey. Or just like, don't drink.
Or don't drink and forget about it because it was a good race.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how was your weekend? Or your last week?
Dude. I mean, I'm doing fine. I don't know when the last time we spoke about our personal stuff was. Yeah, I've started my own master's project. So for which I'm pretty independent, which is both a blessing and a curse. Because it's a lot of work, especially it's a collaborative project between a couple of departments. So I've been doing a lot of research, a lot of work, and a lot of experiments. So like today, for example, I was telling you, I arrived at uni at like 8, and we're recording this at 8:30, and I came back like half an hour ago, which is, I'm not happy with. I don't want to be spending this much time, but I feel like the progress I'm making and the amount of stuff I learn are worth it. So I'm having a lot of fun. I'm making relatively good progress, which is nice to see. So yeah, in general, I'm quite okay. Pretty exhausted often. But yeah, weekend was fun. Got drunk a bunch, went hiking. All the classics.
I did not get out of the house much due to on Sunday having quite a large hangover and mm-hmm. on Saturday being busy with drinking and related activities. A lot of drink and drives, a lot of drink and Mario yeah. Kart, to be clear, not real drinking and driving, not good for you. There's a yeah. game that we have at Mario Kart, or we dubbed it that.
Yeah, Mario Kart, don't drink and drive, many names.
Yeah, yeah, many, many names. Yeah, we just abbreviated it to drink and drive, which makes it the same meaning. I had a really good weekend as well.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I actually have an interesting story to tell because on Saturday in the morning before my evening activities began, I'm on my company's charity committee for the Netherlands, and we officially picked a charity partner that our organization within the Netherlands will be essentially partnering up with for 2022. So we were there on Saturday to make a video essentially and kind of introduce it to our company. And we got a tour of the place. It's the Kindervallei in Falkenberg. And it's a Ronald McDonald sponsored kind of home, but not just a home, which is their typical model, which allows them to be close to hospitals where kids might spend a large amount of time due to rehabilitation or whatever.
Yeah.
This is also, it has an extra facility, which has 8 apartments for, specially designed for disabled kids of all disabilities, really. And it's just there as a vacation, basically, for families with disabled kids to go and just kind of relax and be among other families that are in similar situations. And it was really cool to see. It was like really, really neat. So I encourage anybody to check out the Ronald McDonald Foundation in general and what kind of work they do. But also, if you're from the Netherlands, feel free to also go by there. They're always looking for volunteers in whatever capacity. It's a really cool place, and like suffice it to say, just for the architecture, it's almost worth going there because this building is cool. Just the way it's designed, it reminds you kind of some work Gaudi did in Barcelona in the streets. Mm-hmm. It's really, really cool. There's no like proper corners or anything on it, so that was a really nice experience. Because it brought you closer to something outside into a whole different world, essentially, that different people have, and gives you a whole new perspective on life. So
yeah,
which is nice in these times when you get moments of happiness and from connecting with those kinds of organizations as well. So yeah, check it out.
Yeah, we should put it if there's a link, an easily accessible link, we should probably put it in the episode description.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that'd be quite nice.
Or the next time you're at McDonald's getting whatever, they always have those see-through houses, right?
Mm-hmm.
With like, and you're supposed to put money in the top,
yeah,
basically, which
yeah,
is like the chimney, change, the
yeah.
red one. And that essentially funds 20% of all these homes and whatever. The one in Falkenberg is 20% funded by that organization.
Oh, snap.
So like McDonald's does a lot for them. It's cool. So
that's awesome.
Easy, worth checking out. But yeah, we can put that into the description of the episode.
Yeah.
Anywho, the other thing I did on Sunday, or on, well, on the weekend, I recently got Disney Plus because I stopped using DAZN a while ago. So I had something left in my streaming budget, I guess. And I used it to get a month of Disney Plus because there was a couple of things I wanted to see. I recommend Encanto to anybody. We watched that last night.
That's pretty really good.
It's a pretty good movie. Like Disney and animated, but like a very good meaning behind it, I think, and just really nice. Although it's almost 2 hours, which is due to all the songs that are in there. And some of them are good, and I didn't enjoy a lot of them, to be honest. They kind of just made the movie longer, but the general gist of the movie is really cool. But I finally got to watch some of the Marvel stuff that's come out over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Amongst
yeah.
others, I finished Loki and watched the first two episodes, I believe, of Hawkeye. And in retrospect, Loki's pretty cool. Not knowing, like, if now I watched it, I already knew what was happening, you know, now in the latest Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And but if you hadn't watched Spider-Man especially, you wouldn't quite like there's a lot of like mind-blowing events going on in Loki in terms of just story possibilities explained, which I think is interesting, with a whole new perspective on time. And it essentially minimizes any god, really, because like all of their powers are completely useless compared to something else. So I thought that was all very interesting, the whole way Loki finished.
Which is funny, because I watched Loki as it came out before the whole multiverse was introduced in the main MCU, in the cinematic universe, right?
Yeah.
So I wonder how different our perspective on it would be, because I would have correlated the multiverse stuff that kicked off in Loki with the kind of creation of the Scarlet Witch more than with the ongoings in Doctor Strange kind of pulled in Spider-Man.
Oh, but I think you're connecting something from WandaVision there.
Yeah.
Because I didn't watch WandaVision. And if you're saying creation of the Scarlet Witch, that's got to be from WandaVision, because I haven't seen
it is.
That. Okay,
yeah.
So that's cool. That's maybe a reason to watch WandaVision then for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I've mainly seen, it was some of the episodes. So there's something that happens in the final episode of WandaVision, which I think something along the lines of happens at the exact time code as the one at the end, or whatever his name is. As that
he
thing goes
remains.
On, He Who Remains, as the same thing with He Who Remains dying happens in Loki. And apparently there's similar auditory cues that also happen at the same time. So there's this theory that one causes the other, or they are directly correlated or at the same point in this kind of linear time that we're seeing, rather than the circular one that it apparently is. And I would have said that the shenanigans that happen in Spider-Man are only possible because of these things. But I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that is not excluded with my take on it.
It sounded to me like you were saying that.
No, because at the end of Loki, the thing breaks, right? Because they essentially found him at the end of his protection ability.
Mm-hmm.
And then it broke, and then all this stuff happened. And maybe that can be linked to Doctor Strange's spell in Spider-Man when then all the multiverse people come out. I don't know. Maybe that's the exact time point. But it is definitely a possibility only after. But I just meant it's crazy that there's someone more powerful than gods in this. That's what we learned from Loki, which is crazy to me. And maybe it's just through a Tony Stark type person, right? Because very knowledgeable, figures out technology and is able to, you know, try and... It seemed very similar, actually, to Tony Stark trying to always protect the Earth from all kinds of proactive stuff. And this is essentially what that guy was trying to do. So I don't know. But
interesting.
I thought it was interesting to see that there was another step of power which is like Eternals is out now. I haven't watched that yet, but that's a completely different thing, but I'm sure it'll tie in into that hierarchy of power because right, Thanos was everything and now come the Eternals, which is like a whole another level.
Yeah.
And then we, at the same time through Loki, we're learning that there's gods, but like there's people, he who remains, on a whole another level.
Yeah. Yeah. The power scaling of it all will be very fun, right? Because we see Infinity Stones being useless and used as paperweights, you know, and
that's what I think is crazy.
Their power being so easily withstood and changed. That's something interesting. Yeah. So kind of the scope of what we know as powerful kind of changes.
Exactly. And you could be right in the end that like, maybe not in, although it might be right that all these characters from the TV shows reunite, like the Scarlet Witch example you had mentioned, because of that moment, because it's somehow linked, that they all reunite in the Doctor Strange movie. Well, we know that Scarlet Witch is already in there. So,
yeah.
You know, we could see Loki there as well. That would be interesting.
That'd be really fun.
Yeah. Bringing also very funny that Loki ends up dating himself and that's the only person he could ever fall in love with.
Yeah, I remember that was such a moral dilemma online, you know, because people were like, well, is this technically incest? You know, is this okay? Can we ship this? Can we support this?
Or
is this
it's consensual, weird? Right? Because he wants it.
Yeah. I, for one, I decide to not look at any of that and take this as a piece of fiction. And I fully ship Loki and Sylvie.
Absolutely. Plus, you have to. It's a big screen. So, but I think you could see them that way, like Sylvie get brought into the MCU, like cinematic universe.
Yeah. I was really happy that in the end, she wasn't a like one season kind of situation.
Did she because come back somewhere?
Well, she didn't die at the end.
Oh, no, but Disney is always about pulling more money out, so they're gonna put another second season in no matter what.
Yeah, but
because Disney's, it was only also, 6 episodes.
Disney's also about having a bunch of characters in the first movie who then die and never get brought up again in the follow-up movies. Fair. Like every single parent and most of the siblings in the MCU.
Well, what's a good origin story without someone close to you dying?
I mean, the Hulk.
Name one. The Hulk? No, doesn't someone die?
I don't think so.
Yeah, depends which movie you go by or which comic, I guess. But he smashes through his own lab with all the, I don't know. Fair, maybe. Maybe the Hulk. But he's the most accidental one.
Let's see. I don't know. You've kind of put me on the spot. I feel like there should be more stories that are just like, yeah, this is just like a normal, this is a fully adjusted person who just starts doing stuff.
Captain America, kind of.
I mean, drenched in sacrifice, though.
Yeah, sacrifice, not loss. Nah, but loss of his big, greatest love, right? But
loss of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is all of his loved ones, indirectly.
Yeah. Let's go through them. I mean, Iron Man, I mean, technically doesn't lose anyone necessarily in the first movie, but
yeah,
his parents are dead and all that.
No, the guy in the cave who helps him build the suit.
Oh, that's true.
And that's a big loss for him in that moment. Like, because his parents don't exist and he's in a completely different situation, that's the only person who he trusts in that moment.
That's fair. Okay, so what came after Captain America, we covered, has sort of, Bucky also fully, like, with the exception of him coming back as Winter Soldier, for the intent of the first movie, fully dies.
Yeah, yeah. And then they're like, oh, we need a sequel, which turned out to be very good, to be fair.
Thor. I mean, he technically doesn't lose anyone in the first movie, but Odin almost dies, and Odin also dies later.
Yeah, and then he loses his mother.
In the second movie, true.
So he is kind of... But he has a different mystique around him because he's a god, right? He's not technically a superhero.
Yeah. And I feel like his character development is defined by the people he loses, but comes from a place within, right? He loses his mother and the character development isn't him going, well, I will avenge my mother and be better. It's this will lead me to reconcile with my family, with Loki, and try to be a better person. And then Odin dying, it's not like, oh, my dad died, so I will become stronger. It's my father died. I am powerless. I have to look deep within and understand that I'm my own person and not someone else's, like, prodigy.
Yeah.
But still, loss is quite a theme there, I'd say.
Well, I think loss is a theme for everybody, but it's not necessarily death. Like, it can be emotional loss. Like, Loki didn't really lose anyone per se. He just emotionally lost a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I mean, in the series, it kind of humanizes him, which I'm not sure I like, to be honest. It's a bit weird. Like, seeing him.
You would have preferred him as, like, continue being the aloft god.
Yeah, the series is really interesting because it just brings up some thoughts that you don't previously have, like Loki interacting with himself the whole time.
Yeah.
And it brings out so many extra sides, and then there's a humane side, and it's confusing.
Yeah. I mean, I personally really enjoyed that. I think a lot of Marvel movies could have would have really benefited from just having more time for people to talk, because we have these characters who are honestly quite, in my opinion, when they sit down and interact, are quite multidimensional. And the shows really kind of give that a bit more, put that into the foreground of just having a conversation, you know, rather than having the big kind of character development steps be ones of battle or ones of, you know, dire strait and dire situation.
But at the end of the day, we were just saying that they all have the same similar origin story, so they kind of are the same.
Mm.
That's why the What If series was brought out. Like, what if T'Challa was Star-Lord? Well, Star-Lord and T'Challa have a lot in common. They both have absent or lost fathers in a way, and it's something that haunts them on a day-to-day basis. And,
here's an interesting point. So T'Challa was the Black Panther before his dad died. I mean, as close as you can be.
Was he, though?
Well, I think his dad still carried the rank, but he had the suit and everything. He had the powers.
I thought he got the suit after he died.
No, because then, you know, his dad would have had to die, and within like a few minutes, T'Challa would have had to get the suit to get on the highway and follow it.
Well, and he would have had to have the whole ceremony.
Yeah. No, so he was fully there, and he never had this moment of, like, I have to now become worthy to carry my father's mantle of king.
Well, as king,
he had to prove himself against someone who might have, for other reasons, deserved it as well. He had to pull through, but he didn't have to prove it to himself, I don't think. Maybe I'm not fully understanding the character or missing something, but that's an interesting question.
Well, no, but I think that's where the nuances start between characters, right? They have the same basis, and then you get into like how it exactly affects and how they battle that loss or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And there obviously differs.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that was a very in-depth analysis. Anyway, the series are surprisingly good. And I like that they're only 6 episodes per season, because it makes it feel somewhat movie-like.
Yeah, I quite enjoy it. I think a few of them could have benefited from an episode more, just to establish a few things. You watched Hawkeye, right?
The first two. The first one was like a long intro one, to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
But I know what supposedly happens at the end with Kingpin, that he presumably appears, but I don't know any of the story. So
I just on Kingpin, I feel like the Hawkeye show could have used another episode just to really flesh out the whole Kingpin situation a bit better.
Yeah, but they like keep people guessing.
Yeah,
because these series, I can only imagine they're somehow tied into the movie world.
I'd imagine
all the Star Wars things that Disney has done since they acquired the rights, right? Where they've just taken it and made a bunch of different things, which is fine and all. But I think with Marvel, there is more of this intertwining kind of plan, or like just
layouts, I think,
for how the characters develop and interact.
Yeah, I would say the shows are like main universe canon.
Yeah. 100%, because they still affect some of the biggest characters. And I don't think, like, I was wondering, Tom Hiddleston maybe, but Jeremy Renner, for example, these are like pretty big actors. Would they really just go off for, you know, a series like this? I mean, they probably got paid handsomely, but it seems a little fishy if that doesn't. That's definitely a big precursor for what's to happen in the movies.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that's what I really enjoy about all this. You know, I mean, comics, yes, of course, in the first place, but the fact that what we're having with the Marvel movies, and maybe the movies at some point get a bit repetitive, and maybe sometimes the origin stories are a bit same, but a bit similar, but it's one grandiose story being told over multiple media, over multiple forms, you know? And I think, you know, if you can't, think about the cinematography and think about the movies that come out of it, what you will, but the, you know, the continued effort and continued storytelling that goes into it, you have to be able to appreciate, in my opinion.
Oh, 100%. That's what makes it cool, though, because every movie, if you've seen a few movies, every movie, new movie, you go in and you're like, oh, maybe I can see something here that kind of relates to something else in this whole series. And it's an extra level of experience.
Yeah.
It's very cool. So, like, another thing that I could think happens with the new Doctor Strange movie, Multiverse of Spider-Strange. He's gonna have a big conflict with the TVA, man.
That'd be super fun. I hope that's where they tie it in, you know, that'd be really cool.
Or he's gonna work with them to reinforce it, reinstall it, to minimize the breakoffs to control time.
Yeah,
could be very interesting. Exciting topics. Yeah, that was the only point I had on my notes. Disney Plus shows worth checking out.
yeah, dude, it's fun. I've been watching them as they come out, just because I really enjoy like weekly release shows. So all the Marvel shows kind of really fit into my alley there, and I've been having a lot of fun with them. So I'm glad you finally got into them, because I've been holding my tongue on quite a lot of it. for the longest time now.
Feel that. I'll probably finally watch the last Star Wars movie. I still haven't seen it, but
Episode 9?
No, I have not seen it.
Oh, so. You haven't?
No.
Interesting.
Yeah, apparently you're a fan of it.
Although I liked it. Yeah.
I heard a lot of dislikes though in general.
There is a lot of dislikes. I definitely dislike parts of it, but I think they also got a few things right that I really enjoyed. And in general, I was never that huge a Star Wars fan that the things that they did wrong really affected me so much. So I think I went into it quite like, you know, blue-eyed, quite optimistic maybe, in the sense that I was just ready to enjoy the things I'll like and not care about the things that I'll dislike.
Fair enough. We went and watched the 8th movie together, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I watched the 7th as it came out. I really enjoyed episode 7. I thought episode 7 led up to a lot of great things.
Episode 7 was the reason 8 was a letdown.
8 was a huge letdown for me. And then 9 I thought was like, okay, it was just between the two, and because 8 stopped me caring about a lot of things, I just thought, okay, I'll look at 9 like as its own thing, and then I saw a few fun things.
I remember episode 8 so vividly as well, because I remember we came out of the movie and we're like, that made no sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there was some cool scenes, but like that whole scene didn't need to be there, the casino one. That was completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
And why didn't she do that in the first place?
Yeah.
Just didn't make sense. Not to spoil anyone who hasn't seen Star Wars Episode 8.
Yeah, don't.
Literally, you can turn it off after 20 minutes, and what they say they're going to do after 20 minutes is what they end up doing after 240 minutes.
Yeah, but there's a whole bit in there which is sort of pretty unnecessary.
But is the reason it's not just a 60-minute flick.
Yeah. And then they try to salvage it. Mind you, the final confrontation on that planet where when you fly over the salt turns red. Great visuals in general. Episode Amazing 8 had effects. Really good visuals.
Yep, absolutely.
The story was not just the story. Everything else was pretty shit, just to be completely honest.
Honestly seemed like a Family Guy episode from a plot perspective and the time it should take up, extended via visual effects and unnecessary side plots.
Yeah.
And they were like so unsatisfactory.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, the red thing at the end, right? Like that one shipping thing that's been going on for the whole movie. You're shipping the two people and it's like
what is the name? Finn and Rose, is that it?
Yes.
And then Rose goes, we will win not because we kill what we hate, but because we fight for what we love, while she's on a suicide mission to bomb the shit out of their enemies. Like, what?
But like also the bombing scene at the beginning, or fairly at the beginning, is quite an impressive one.
where her sister dies, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And also really cool. So great effects, yeah. Just not a good story.
I felt like that scene in the beginning, because she has like an amulet with the Force or something. Her sister does, I think.
Yeah.
And the way Seven ended, it just all gave me vibes of like, this is going to be a story about finding new blood for the Jedi, you know, rediscovering the Force and Jediism in the galaxy. And then it never happens. And it also doesn't happen in episode nine. Like the way episode, I'm going to tell you this because, but like episode eight ends up with like, you see these kids on a planet and then one of them uses the Force or something to get up a broom or shit like that. And it never gets brought up again. It just straight up doesn't happen in episode nine. You know, it's
maybe
like, oh, so now they're going to go into like, hey, let's rebuild the Jedi. No, it's like, well, fucking hell, here's another like space war, you know, oh, fuck off.
But honestly, maybe that's like movies get decided very, very, very spontaneously on in which way they go. And I was reading this about Spider-Man recently as well, that they signed on the first two of the three Spider-Men fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And waited for quite a while until Tobey Maguire finally signed, and they had all the other people lined up, and it took quite a while to get the last person there. So they had filmed so much extra stuff because they had two other complete ideas for the story. And one was gonna, it was completely different based off who they were gonna sign. So it, like, the behind the scenes stuff is really crazy and how it determines what a final version of the movie will look like.
Yeah.
So maybe that played a role in planning those three movies, because it did take quite a while. But, you know, I don't know. That can sometimes be a reason for it, and they didn't conceal it very well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to know how much of like story and filmmaking gets decided by scheduling, you know?
That's fair.
I'm sure it's something interesting we could talk to Howard about, but yeah, it must be so much, right? Because I'm just seeing now in how much decision making and scientific research and projects and stuff like that gets made because of scheduling, you know?
It's ridiculous.
It's insane.
I think you see it everywhere, really.
Yeah.
For me at work, just sometimes people don't have time for the next week or two. So you have to schedule a meeting a month in advance sometimes if there's, you know, more than six people involved. Because of scheduling, and it's everywhere. It's crazy. The days just need to be 36 hours. That's the thing.
Oh, great. Then I could sleep for 12 hours.
Exactly.
More.
And you'd be way more productive because you then have 20 hours of work.
No, I'd be tired.
18 hours
from
of
sleeping
work,
too much.
10 hours of sleep. That works.
I don't know. Maybe, I feel like I'd still be pretty tired.
Or only we could do 820 730 day years. That would work.
I don't know, I'd still be pretty tired.
4 hours of sleep.
Oh, that'd get me waked up.
Yeah. And then only 8 hours awake and then 4 hours of sleep again.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, let's do that.
That would work.
Hey Joe. Mr. Joe Biden.
So that pretty much summarizes my topic. Disney Plus is actually surprisingly good streaming service right now, and they've added a couple other shows, and they're worth the $9 at least for 1 month. I'm not sure if it's worth it on a like Netflix level kind of monthly thing, but for a month or two, I think it's definitely worth getting. Any other cool shows you can recommend from there?
Oh, I haven't really watched much on there except for the Marvel shows every now and again, to be completely honest with you. In general, I haven't been watching much stuff online recently. Let me think. Let me open my YouTube feed.
Yes, have a look. High quality content coming right at you.
Maybe I can recommend anything there. Oh, I've been really liking Adam Ragusea. It's a cooking, like a home cooking channel. Who does like applicable recipes. I've been really enjoying that. I really enjoyed the Arava Formula One video game series where he simulates his own F1 season. That's really fun.
I enjoy watching those.
He kind of puts a lot of a lot of drama into them kind of artificially with like the transfers is really fun. I've been getting really into SCP, search, sorry, secure, contain, protect. That'd be pretty embarrassing if I don't know what it stands for now. Which I might still have been wrong. It's this kind of shared online website where everyone can write like short horror stories, and publish them. And it's got a really huge community, which is really fun. And it has its own like internal canon and speculation, you know, but it's not, there's not like one person who makes the canon. It's just whatever people come up with. It's really collaborative and interactive, really fun.
That's nice. Sounds good.
Yeah. Let's see. Maybe I'll find one more thing to recommend. Nope, my phone just disconnected from Wi-Fi. So I have nothing else to say on the show front.
Oh man. Well, the thing, it's funny, if people are all very set on a project, back to your scheduling issue. Which just sounds like a really boring topic. But with the video, like we produced a video about the visit when we went to the charity organization on Saturday. And it took us a day and a half to make it with 4 to 5 people, 5 people. And like that was pretty good. But I guess it was because everybody volunteered their time and it went over a weekend. So it, you know, if people don't have shit to do, it gets done really quickly. But it's because we're piling up so much work onto one day or onto one moment. I think that's the issue in real life. I wanted to throw out a book recommendation to our audience of four people. I don't know if I told you about this, but I read this last weekend and a work colleague recommended it. And it's just a good book to, you know, for, to trigger some thoughts, essentially. It's just thought-provoking in that sense. And it's called The Four Agreements. It's by a guy called Miguel Ruiz, and it's based off, well, they call it a Toltec wisdom book. Toltec society lived a long time ago, close to the Aztecs, on the map at least, close to them. And they had their own wisdom for living, I guess, and for everybody's personal optimal settings to just maximize your utility in life and your health, etc. So it's just a really short book, 138 pages, and that gives you a guideline of like four key principles that you should just always bear in mind. One is impeccable word, two is never judge, three is never assume, and four is never take anything personally. And they go through these, or in the book, it just quickly goes through them, and it's written in very simple, but also, again, thought-provoking ways. So it's not meant to for you to question like anything really, but it's more meant for like some self-reflection and kind of it's a really, really good book. I'd really recommend it. Yeah. I gave it to Kieran now, so when he gives it back, you can have it if you want.
Yeah, he needs some self-reflection.
He really was looking for it, but it was really funny because he like shared whatever moment he had gone through, and I was able to really fully relate. And before he had finished like detailing his story, I kind of gave him mine, and he was like, "Oh my God, that was exactly what." It was really odd that moment because it's like, are we just drunk or are we like going through the really same thing? Which I thought was interesting. Yeah, so the book is just a nice way to look at your life kind of objectively and look to just continuously improve, I guess.
That's fun. What was it called?
The Four Agreements
The
by
Four Agreements.
Miguel Ruiz.
All right. Sure. I'll plug a book. Patrick Rothfuss, one of my favorite authors growing up, author of The Kinkler Chronicles, has recently released the prologue after he reached a fundraising goal to his long-awaited book, The Doors of Stone. And it is looking like we might soon become privy to perhaps some announcement about a book release. For context, the previous or the second book of the series was released in 2012, 2014. Don't nail me on that, but we've been waiting for a very long time, and it's one of the most acclaimed fantasy books, at least to my knowledge. And we might finally be seeing the third book. So
what is the series about, if people haven't heard of it?
Series is about a young boy called Quoth, who, much like the Marvel superheroes, uses his parents at a young age, who were part of a kind of nomadic group of people traveling this world, called the Ademaru. And his dad wrote a song, or a poem about a group of very dangerous people who come and enact some form of unspecified violence on his people. Not unspecified, they kill them, but for unspecified reasons. And we kind of follow this young boy then, through his grief, and through his life as an orphan, as he goes through like living as a street urchin, to making it to a magical university, to being ostracized there, through traveling the world, through becoming a musician. And it's a very fun, like, coming of age story, that is just beautifully written, just absolutely wonderfully beautifully written. I've read it in German and in English, and both languages were fantastic. And I've heard from people who've read it in Spanish and Finnish, and apparently it's also extremely good in those languages.
That's awesome. Maybe worth getting into. I have so many. Every Christmas I get like four books, and it always gets me like, and through the Christmas time it's always a really nice reading time, but you only get through so many and then you have a few left, so I still have like a tally of like three or four books to read.
Yeah,
but maybe then I start on that series. I'd like to get back into fantasy, because in recent times I've been reading more biographies, such as, for Christmas, really cool gift, I got Eminem's autobiography.
Oh, fun.
And it's such a cool book, because it's not like any other, just paperback, kind of, you know, a 300-400 page, and in the middle you have a few pictures, as most of them. But this one's like a complete, way bigger size per page, and like pictures of lyrics written on paper notes, whatever it is, everything is in the book with full color pictures, really high quality production there. Just an amazing book. Like, the art in it is really cool, and it's really great to flick through to read stories rather than a cover to cover kind of book. But really nice, really insightful. And well, if you've ever heard an Eminem song, which, under what rock have you been living if you haven't, he's pretty good at writing stuff. So
he's got really some nice talent, you know.
He's up and coming.
Yeah, he should kind of think about maybe going like music business, like,
yeah,
as his main kind of thing, you know.
Yeah. Author is good, but like maybe he should do music.
Yeah
Another good one is Dave Grohl's autobiography, which is really nice, because he doesn't just like, he just tells little snippets, but they fit into a bigger story of one that he's telling his daughter, which is really cool. So it's a bit more disguised and kind of creatively put together in a different way than usual. So it's nice. So yeah, we plugged a bunch of books now. What an intelligent show.
Yeah, dude, it's almost like we read or something. Nerds.
Amazing. Crazy. Yeah, but during uni, this is what's insane, right? People consider you academic if you've studied. You're an academic then, which is ridiculous to me, because when you study, like my free time, of the amount of free time I had and what percentage was taken up by reading just for fun, in uni basically went down to zero, and outside of uni before and after has been higher.
Yeah.
Like way higher. And you're just focused on reading so much during your normal time activities that you don't want to read, because I don't know how many articles I've read in my life. Too many.
Yeah.
Same for you, probably.
Yeah, same for me, still ongoing.
I know you spent 2 weeks researching and reading papers to find the right antibody to use for your experiment.
You know, that's nothing. Yeah, it's tough. I would have said, you know, in high school and first year out of high school working, I would have said reading is like one of my main hobbies. And starting uni, of course, the reading you do in your free time kind of goes down to the things where, you know, you really want to read them, rather than, you know, just kind of picking up. I used to go to bookshops and just like pick, like take pictures of books I wanted to read, obviously, you know,
and get them on the Kindle.
Which isn't great, but
Toby's the reason there's no more bookstores.
That's just me. Yeah, and then get them on the Kindle and just read them, you know, and I don't do that anymore. Yeah, it's a shame. I would like,
but then again,
more,
but in
it's
uni,
a different kind of focus you have for it than for like listening to something.
Yeah. In uni, when you do have a break, though, I always found myself directly like over Christmas break or whatever, immediately like reading a lot, which is nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. So we've plugged books. We've bragged about our intelligence and that we're academics.
Well, I would have actually said I did the opposite.
Yeah, I turned more into an alcoholic in uni than an academic.
Oh, speaking of, I wanted to tell you earlier, the Esports Association in Maastricht is organizing a Don't Drink and Drive tournament for when we can finally be back in person.
Can I join that?
I'm sure you can.
I would really love to.
You know the entire board. Well, actually, you know, no, we've had Thomas on. So you know exactly the entire board.
So it's four people or you as well?
No, not me. Or is it five people? It's Bart, Juliana, Thomas, Jules. I'm pretty sure I'm forgetting someone, but I'm pretty sure I've also not met them. So yeah, we know almost the entire board.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good. So I can come. That'll be fun.
Probably. I'll let you know when it happens.
We should get them back on, man. We should get them back on.
Yeah.
How are they doing? How is the Esports Association? We're talking about the Esports Association founded by our friends Bart and Jules, I think, found it initially, right?
And Juliana.
And Juliana.
Yeah.
And
from the Maastricht Money Boys.
Maastricht Money Boys. They were on in our first season, I believe.
Yeah.
And Toby has commented officially on a couple of their streams of their European-wide competition.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it commenting. No, wait, they're doing Toby. Really well, dude. They're really growing quite rapidly. It's really fun. I'm going to officially join soon.
As a player?
No, as a member.
To donate.
Yes, but well, you need a gym membership though, and I didn't get one because, you know, gym's closed here. So I'm going to get one from UM Sports now and then join them as well.
Oh, this is an interesting topic because recently they changed the rules in Germany for entering gyms and restaurants. And they changed it to 2G plus ruling, which means that you need to get for a gym a test essentially to get in, regardless mm-hmm. of if you're, and only if you've been vaccinated or if you have had COVID, you are even allowed to be going into the building with a test.
Mm-hmm.
And then a while back later, they changed it back to if you have a booster, you don't need to have a test. And everybody else who doesn't have a booster and is vaccinated twice, you know, needs a test. What do you think of that, scientifically speaking? Because it doesn't seem like the right alternative.
Dude, to become... I had a really long conversation about that yesterday. I don't think much of it. I don't want to talk about it too much, to be completely honest. We have something similar here about if you're boosted and you've had contact with someone confirmed who has COVID, then you don't need to go into immediate quarantine. And I'm finding it hard to understand why we're making certain rules and who we're trying to protect with them at this point now. But I think we're in a position where we're starting to think a bit more again about which regulations might be better for the economy rather than the healthcare system. And I find that very tough. The whole notion of, oh, Omicron is mild, let it rip, you know, let it have its fun, is a very hard notion to follow, I find.
Yeah.
And I'm very glad that I'm not in the position to have to make decisions about this. Because that can't be easy.
Fair.
Because there's going to be a lot of pressure from the economy side, which is going to make it tough to make the decisions that might be right for the healthcare system.
Well, I guess the problem is with assessing when a pandemic is over or manageable in that sense is it's not like this virus is not one you can completely like stop from people from getting. The goal is more to manage the risk of what the worst case scenario could be if someone gets the virus and minimizing that damage. That's what the goal has been from the get-go. And it's probably really tough to tell which mutation, which set of rules just goes towards minimization and which one goes to the full eradication kind of thing, right? Because there is a difference between the two. And I agree, I'm very happy not to be in the situation of having to make those choices, because there's pressure from the economy, but then which fair to some extent, but then there's also like public health, which fair. It's difficult.
Yeah. I mean, I will stand with the thing, with the opinion that I've had for a long, not opinion, with the knowledge that I've had almost certain for a long time, which is, I think the great shame that we're seeing is the fact that vaccines, as one of the most, or if not, well, the most effective healthcare, the most effective healthcare intervention that we've ever had in the history of mankind, is the crux of the political side of it. And we are reaping the, well, rewards of the anti-vaccine narrative that we've been entertaining for a few decades now, from a few people who started spreading it in the 19th century or in the 20th century, so 19 something. And that I think is the real shame, that we're losing our greatest ally in the fight against bacteria and vaccines and these sort of things. And that it's becoming so increasingly politicized. And I think what would really aid in the future, and when we get out of this, which at this point I do think we will, it'll just be really hard, is we need more comprehensive health education.
Fully agree. Excuse me, by the way.
Oh, did you cough? I thought you just talked to someone.
No, I sneezed.
And bless you again. All right, folk. I think this is where we're calling it, because we've got Scott coughing. he's having an allergic reaction to the talk we're having.
No, I fully agree with you. It's a very tough situation and tough to assess, and not really our expertise to assess at all.
Yeah. I think stay healthy. Stay well, yeah, just fucking hell, man. Just think of, you know, just think before you act, man. It's fine if, you know, it's fine if you're out there and you're having doubts about these things. Just, you know, just about either side, you know, just think of other people, be careful. And we'll get through this, and hopefully we'll get through this without losing our societies as they are.
It's a good summation. I think for a Monday, that's a pretty good prospect for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll have no insurrection this week.
Watch the world end by Friday. I fucking jinxed it now.
Are you calling him?
No.
Four more days. We'll get there.
All right.
Awesome. Cool. All right. Have a wonderful week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Welcome to the Made It to the End Club. I respect anybody.
As always, members are us too.
Yeah, exactly.
And well, I guess we'll know at some point. All right. Cheers and bye-bye.
Bye.